Let's read together Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 18. In these verses, we have both the believer's present condition, the way it is now on this earth in these mortal bodies of ours, and also we have the believer's future condition, the way it will be when we are glorified in heaven. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Let's begin this section now with some background notes. It's been said that if the Bible was likened to a ring, then Romans could be likened to the gemstone of the ring. And if Romans is the gemstone of the ring, then chapter 8 is like the sparkling highlight of that gemstone. In Romans chapter 8, the cry of Romans 7:24 is fully answered. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? That cry, which is really music to the Lord's ears, is fully answered in Romans chapter 8. And the answer is not in trying to keep God's law in our own strength, because we can't do it. Once again, the answer is found in God's grace. Law is where we do something for God. Grace is where God does something for us. God in his grace has not only provided eternal salvation for us, but he has also provided power for us to live the Christian life. We need power, because until we get to heaven, we still have the sinful human nature or the flesh. We've seen that in our studies of Romans 7 and 8. Although we've been born again, and we have a new divine nature, we still have indwelling sin, even as Christians. So the new life that we have needs power to overcome the sinful temptations and sinful tendencies of that sinful nature that we still have. Well, the power is available if we just follow the Lord and walk after the Spirit. Don't be like the man who thought he had to carry his suitcase while he was on the airplane. You follow that illustration? The power is available to overcome the sinful tendencies of the sinful nature. Power for Christian living is available, even for patience with your teenagers, even for control of your tongue and your anger when someone cuts you off in traffic. So Romans 8 not only tells us what a Christian should be like, it tells us how to do it. And more we could say about the background, but let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for this section of Romans 8. Doctrinal or teaching point number one, the present condition of the sons of God involves suffering and separation. The present condition of the sons of God involves suffering and separation. In Romans chapter 6, we learn that our spiritual position is in Christ. God sees us as righteous. We have died with Christ. We have risen with Christ. We are in Christ. That is our spiritual position. But here in these verses before us, we have our present condition. We are not in heaven yet, and we do not have glorified bodies yet. Yes, we are born again, and we are in the family of God, and we do have new divine life. But we are still on this earth, and we still possess sinful natures. Because we are still on this earth, we are involved in suffering. Because we are still in this body, we are involved in separation. Do you see the doctrinal point? The present condition of the sons of God involves suffering and separation. In reference to suffering, the primary idea here is not suffering from migraine headaches or the flu, but suffering for the sake of Christ. Verse 17 and 18, once again, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, these sufferings certainly include physical persecution, but these sufferings certainly include other forms of suffering as well. Suffering such as the verbal abuse and mocking that we endure as Christians. Suffering such as the loss of a job promotion because of our being outspoken Christians. A few illustrations. Have you been ridiculed yet for speaking out against abortion? Have you been laughed at for maintaining moral standards in line with the Bible? Have you been despised because you said that Jesus was the only way to heaven? Have you lost out on your career because you've made the Lord number one? All forms of suffering for the sake of Christ. But now in reference to separation, in the power of the Spirit, we must put to death. Notice verse 13. We must put to death the deeds of the body. Why are the sinful deeds of the body a problem for the Christian? And why does a Christian have to be involved in this process of separation? Answer, because of indwelling sin or the flesh, which is still with us. Let me ask you, which of the following lines is more biblical? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love, or prone to worship, Lord, I feel it, prone to serve the God I love. Which is more biblical? Answer, both are just as biblical. Because on the one hand, we do have new life in Christ, which is prone to worship and serve the Lord. But on the other hand, we still have the flesh, which is prone to wander and leave the Lord. So we must be involved in separation. Now, how do we put to death the deeds of the body and thus practice separation? We feed the new and starve the old. Remember that? We feed the new life that we have in Christ by reading and studying Scripture, by prayer, by being in fellowship with other believers, by worship, by serving the Lord. To be involved in these things is to feed the new life. That's what it means to walk after the Spirit and be led of the Spirit of God and thus experience the power of the Spirit and the abundant life. And at the same time, we starve the flesh. We owe the flesh nothing. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. You owe the flesh nothing. So don't read material and watch TV programs that appeal to the flesh. Don't put yourself in situations where you know you're vulnerable. And you can do it. Because the power of the Spirit is there to enable the new life, the divine life that you have in Christ. The unbeliever, you see, is characterized by living according to the flesh. This is the way of death, verse 13. But the believer is to be characterized by being led of the Spirit, verse 14. The present condition of the sons of God involves suffering and separation. Doctrinal point number two, the future condition of the sons of God involves inheritance and glory. The future condition of the sons of God involves inheritance and glory. Verse 17 says that believers are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Did you ever wish that you were born rich or maybe the heir of some huge fortune? Listen. That's pocket change compared to what we're going to inherit. God owns the world, and it's all going to be subject to Christ when he returns as king, and we are going to reign with Christ. So it's all ours, folks. Name your fortune. You've got it. We're more than multi-billionaires. It's just a matter of time. Wait and see. And not only that, the sons of God will be glorified together with Christ, verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Notice how the amount of glory seems to be linked to our willingness to suffer for Christ now. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So it will be quite obvious then how willing we were to suffer for the sake of Christ now. Is it worth it? Verse 18 gives the answer. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Another scripture, 2 Corinthians 4, 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So the equation is not something like a pound of suffering equals a pound of glory. No. It's more like an ounce of suffering results in a ton of glory. A drop of suffering brings an ocean of glory. Young people here this morning, don't forget your investment opportunities along this line. I've seen older Christians cry when they realized the opportunities they lost in this life, the opportunity to suffer for Christ. Your chance, your privilege, your opportunity to suffer for Christ is now. Don't lose that investment opportunity. Remember, the future condition of the sons of God involves inheritance and glory. Practical application. Have you ever addressed God as Dad? Have you ever addressed God as Dad? Verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba is the Aramaic term for daddy or papa. It is a term that children use to express their love and affection and trust for their father. Now, addressing God as dad or daddy may seem too familiar or too irreverent to you. Well, then don't use it. In any case, the idea in these verses is that we are not in the family of God as slaves, where we have to fear God, verse 15. We are in the family of God as children, verse 16, and as adult sons, verse 14. The idea in spirit of adoption there in verse 15 is not that we are only adopted sons. No. In first century Roman culture, boys went through what was called an adoption process when they came of age. Now they had all the rights and privileges of mature sons in the family. So we are both children and sons in God's family. And the Holy Spirit, you see, convinces us of these truths. Therefore, we are close to our Heavenly Father, and we can address him as Abba Father or Daddy, Dad. In a reverent way, have you ever addressed God as Dad?